Okay, everyone, welcome to the Wayne Matson Report, the Saturday roundup, and we're coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C., where we're going to be discussing other radio shows that populate the public, I want to stress that word, public airwaves. And some of the discourse that we're hearing now is not really what I consider to be in the public interest, and it's a shame that the FCC has really abrogated, that's the Federal Communications Commission, has abrogated the responsibilities to make sure that the use of the public airwaves is in the public interest. And what we've been hearing over the last several weeks from certain individuals is definitely not in the public interest, and we'll be playing some clips of some of these characters, and it's up to you, of course, to decide whether you feel what they're saying is in the public interest, but I have some real doubts about the motivations behind these individuals and the agenda that they're trying to push. Anyway, if you'd like to call the program this evening, the 800 number, toll-free number, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Basically, this past week, last weekend, actually, I was driving back from a Navy reunion in Norfolk, Virginia, and the rental car that I had only had the AM, FM radio, and I was treated to somebody who I have not heard. I just don't listen to this individual. I haven't heard him for many, many years, but Rush Limbaugh. And what I heard was absolutely the most disgusting and revolting radio content. I mean, he's bad, but he's getting worse. Certainly what he's saying now about President Obama. You can criticize the president, but to go where Limbaugh is going is really, this does not belong on any public airwaves. And, I mean, he's worse than the worst pirate radio station probably that ever existed, but he is on probably 600 radio stations around the country. And I'll explain why he's on so many stations. It's a very good deal for them. And, of course, it's a very good deal for Limbaugh. But he's not operating in the same sort of market that many other radio hosts have dealt with in the past. He's not Paul Harvey. He's not many of the other radio talk show hosts, Howard Stern. You can go down the list. He's very unique in one respect, and that's why he is able to blather on the nation's airwaves with the nonsense and absolute racism that he gets away with. And this is day after day, 3 hours a day. Anyway, we'll talk about Rush and his ilk when we come back right after this short break. This is Wayne Matson from Washington.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
referring to the numbers, Obama's numbers on how, you know, how much it's going to cost. And he kept using the term Obama's figures, F-I-G-G-E-R-S. Look, you know, the guy is pretty obvious with what he's doing. He's trying to be cute, but he's a racist. He doesn't belong on the airwaves with that kind of language. He was also referring to Obama's people. Obama's people. Well, as far as I'm concerned, he's the president of the United States. And, you know, Obama's people is the American people. I know what Limbaugh's driving at. But again, it's clearly time that the FCC does not sanction this guy and his syndicator, which is the Excellence in Broadcasting Network. And I'll give you a little insight on how that works. That show is given away for free to these radio stations around the country. Now, most of these stations are owned by large corporations. Many of them are, most of them are right wing. But because they get it for free, they can go out and get advertisers, and they're basically pocketing that profit. They don't have to say, like Paul Harvey, they would have to pay for Paul Harvey's program. They would have to pay for other national radio personalities program, but not Limbaugh, because Limbaugh's being funded by very right-wing organizations that whose agendas are very clear, and all you have to do is listen to a Limbaugh spout off, and you know what the agenda is. I want to play this clip of Limbaugh. There was an incident on a school bus where a white kid was beat up by some black kids, but listen to how Limbaugh is spinning this, trying to blame this on Obama. I think it happened in Illinois. Maybe that's because Obama was a senator from Illinois. I mean, Limbaugh is so out there where the buses don't run, no pun intended. Let's listen to this clip.
The evidence.
Greetings, my friends. It's Obama's America, is it not? Obama's America. White kids getting beat up on school buses now. I mean, you put your kids on a school bus, you expect safety. But in Obama's America, the white kids now get beat up. With the black kids cheering, yeah, right on, right on, right on, right on. And, of course, everybody said, oh, the white kid deserved it. He was born a racist. He's white. Newsweek magazine told us this. We know that white students are destroying civility on buses. White students destroying civility in classrooms all over America. White congressmen destroying civility in the House of Representatives. And we can redistribute students while we redistribute their parents' wealth. I mean, we can just redistribute everything. Just return the white students to their rightful place, their own bus, with bars on the windows and armed guards. They're racist. They got what they deserve. Newsweek magazine told us this. Post-racial America. I mean, I wonder if Obama's going to come to the defense of the assailants the way he did his friend Skip Gates up there at Harvard. I mean, the assailants are presumed innocent due to the white racism we all know runs rampant in America. I mean, to drive-by media is ginning up all this criticism of Obama again today. It's all based in racism. The criticism of Obama's health care plan or whatever, it's all based in racism. And so,
about as much as I can take of Mr. Limbaugh. But did you hear what he said? He was trying to say that Obama approved of these black kids. These were, you know, high school kids, juvenile delinquents, obviously, trying to say that Obama approved of them beating up this white kid on his bus. I mean, this is just outrageous for the public airwaves. It does not belong on the public airwaves. The public airwaves are supposed to serve the public interest. And when people like Mr. Limbaugh proceed to turn the airwaves into a marketplace for his venal and vile racist talk. I mean, it's just incredible that the FCC is not moving against this guy. No matter how many powerful friends he has in corporate America, the airways do not belong to those corporations. They belong to you and I. And I object to what he says. And I think, by and large, Obama won with a landslide in this country. He won states that no Democrat has won since, in the case of Virginia, since Lyndon Johnson in 1964. For this individual to suggest that Obama supports black kids beating up white kids is just it just does not belong on the airwaves, and it's high time. And if the FCC refuses to do it, Congress needs to reimpose the fairness doctrine. So for every 3 hours of Limbaugh, I'm not saying, you know, that would be offered to me, you get 3 hours of me on the public airwaves, on syndicated radio, on his the stations that are owned by his friends in corporate right-wing corporate America. That's the way it should work. If the FCC refuses to sanction Limbaugh for his behavior, let the Congress order the FCC through a law, bring back the fairness doctrine that Reagan got rid of in 1987, because the fairness doctrine was to serve the public interest. And they said, well, the marketplace will take over and do that. No, the marketplace has not done that, because the marketplace has allowed individuals like Rush Limbaugh to spew this kind of nonsense day after day. And, you know, he thinks he's a patriotic American. He's tearing this country apart with his what he has to say. And we know who he is. He referred to Joe Wilson, but not by name. He talked about civility in Congress. That Joe Wilson, Republican congressman from South Carolina, that was not a spur-of-the-moment outburst from him. That was planned. All you have to do is look at the people sitting around him. They didn't look at him. They knew it was coming. And this is what we have in Congress, in the Republican Party. That party has been totally taken over by the lunatics, the religious nuts, the neo-Confederates like Wilson, the multi-billionaires who've looted, you know, looted Wall Street. Remember, it started under Bush, the looting of the Wall Street. The looting of the Treasury began under Bush. Now, I believe that Obama should be criticized for keeping people like Ben Bernanke and having Timothy Geithner as a Treasury Secretary. But that's okay. That kind of criticism, I think that criticism is justified of Obama. But to suggest that he has a secret agenda and he favors black kids beating up a white kid on a school bus, It defies logic. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And as far as Limbaugh, the day before Joe Wilson's outburst was on his radio station calling Obama a liar. So where do you think, Joe Wilson got the idea? I mean, they talk about Limbaugh being the titular head, the de facto head of the Republican Party. Well, fine. I think he represents the Republican Party. But that doesn't mean he should be allowed to spew that garbage on the public airways every day. He needs to be sanctioned, and hopefully something will be done to take care of Mr. Limbaugh. I see we have Mike calling from Maryland. Mike, are you with us?
Yeah, hey, I really enjoy your show, and I met you a few years ago. I'm with DC911truth.org. I met you when we had that seminar at the university.
Oh, right, yes.
And I'm politically, I'm a conservative, but I can't stand Rush Limbaugh. I think he's a big phony.
He is.
I think he pays lip service to conservative values. Him and people like Ann Coulter are there to basically give credence to the false left-right paradigm.
Absolutely.
So I don't take him serious, but I don't agree with your assessment that we need to return to the fairness doctrine, because if the government gets involved in anything, it'll screw it up, it'll squelch free speech. So, quote-unquote, democracy is messy at times, and you're going to have stone throwers like Limbaugh, And Ann Coulter. I mean, I can't stand her either. And I'm a conservative. Let me just run this by you and get your opinion on it. And because I mean, if Rush Limbaugh was really a conservative, he'd be blasting the Federal Reserve. He wouldn't be for all these ridiculous foreign wars.
Sure.
And
he talks about drug dealers, yet he's the guy who purchases drugs off the street in Florida or sends his maid out there. So.
Well, I've had my difficulties with drink and booze, so I don't want to be too harsh on him on that. and you know, some people do get hooked on pharmaceuticals, and maybe he's apparently he's off that. I give him credit for that. But let me just run something by you, and I think the Democrats and the Republicans are basically 90% of them are controlled by the same people. They promote the same agenda. If the Republicans wanted to drive, wanted to really kick Clinton out of office, they could have done it over a number of...
Yeah, hold on, Mike. We have a short break, but I want you to finish that thought. We will be right back after this short break. This is Wayne Madsen from Washington.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is the Wayne Madsen Report, the Saturday Roundup, and the toll-free number, if you'd like to call the program, is 800-313-9443. And we have Mike from Maryland on the phone. And, Mike, you were getting into a thought, and why don't you
Sure. Let me run the scenario by you and get your opinion on it. And let me, maybe, if I may, reiterate a couple of things. So both parties pretty much promote the same agenda. And I'll just recap a couple of things. Notice Obama said he's going to have change, but we're still in Iraq. He's expanding the war in Afghanistan. He's bombing wedding parties in Pakistan. He's not stopping. And I'm not saying this as a partisan to run down Obama, because I didn't vote for
him. No. You're right. You're right. As a matter of fact, I hear the term buyer's remorse from many people who voted for him.
And I haven't voted for Republicans since Reagan in 80, and I was still drinking then, so that's my excuse. But let me just run this by you, and I think you're right in the fact that the Joe Wilson outburst was staged, but maybe not quite the way you think. And I got this article from Psychology Today, which made a very valid point that yes, it was staged because it was only a one or two second outburst from Joe Wilson, and so the camera had to be focused on him perfectly in order for him to do that, and he's a relatively unknown congressman.
Absolutely.
So basically, he's fitting in to the paradigm of the left-right paradigm of basically giving cover for Obama for charges of racism. So now Jimmy Carter comes out and says it's racist to criticize Obama. So in essence, from his outburst, it basically helps promote the Obama agenda. Because now these critics, particularly Republicans, can be castigated as racist or simply anti-Obama.
Yes, you're right. And I was absolutely amazed at the number of, they were not that many, but the Democrats who actually voted against the rebuking of Wilson on the House floor. Among those who voted no, in other words, not to rebuke them, Democrats now, were people like Dennis Kucinich. It was extremely interesting to see those who did not who voted not to rebuke him. I mean, it was now some Republicans voted to rebuke him as well. But I believe I see this with Rupert Murdoch and George Soros. I believe that they do one on the right, one on the left. It is this divide and conquer.
Look how
many radios. I mean, Soros is heavy on the web. Murdoch, of course, heavy in the broadcast. But they're both serving this false Hegelian dialectic. You know, creating straw men, and obviously, you know, that's all everyone was talking about was Joe Wilson's outburst. What, for 2 days afterwards? And nobody was talking about health care.
Yeah, so it was a great diversion, and so that it sets the precedent where you're a potential racist if you criticize Obama. And Democrats, Republicans, same socialist agenda for the most part. Even the former head of the Republican Party said that they're a big government party now. That's why people like Patrick Buchanan has left the party, and why people like Ron Paul are ostracized. So it's, there's a few, wedge issues that the two parties talk about, there's the rhetoric is a little bit different, but the same agenda keeps being, to use a Beltway term, promulgated.
Right, right. I mean, it's, you know, and every time we hear about, well, in the next election cycle, we're going to throw the bums out, we throw the bums back in, because it's always easier to criticize someone else's congressman. But when it comes to your own, oh, well, that's Harry, that's Joe, that's Nancy. You know, we know them. You know, they're good people because it's their own Congress.
Sure.
But, they always wind up getting back in. And, I mean, the system, of course, we have a duopoly. If you run in any party other than Democratic or Republican, there are so many institutional barriers built in.
Of course.
Signatures to get on the ballot. It's incredible. Federal Election Commission filings and if you're, but the two parties have it pretty well figured out how to get the people back in.
Yeah, they get it sewed up pretty good. So basically, Joe Wilson, got orders from somebody to make the outburst, so to give legitimacy to Obama, and I just think that makes perfect sense to me, you know.
And you know what's happened in his district. His political donations have skyrocketed.
Sure.
And his Democratic opponent, a guy named Miller, his contributions have skyrocketed. So it was good. It was good for both the Republican, the incumbent, but also the Democratic challenger.
Everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy, right? Because people, you know, reacted to that. Well, let's find out who's running against him. And this guy just got a big influx of cash.
And Joe Wilson,
too.
I know.
Yeah.
And Joe Wilson is a Mason, by the way.
Well, there's another thing. It's amazing now that Dan Brown is he's going after the Catholic Church on two occasions with the Da Vinci Code and that last one, Angels and Demons. But now his new book is out. It's about the Masonic influence in Washington. So we know there's a movie coming eventually.
Sure.
I'm sure the filming has already started.
On there's a video.
Hold on, Mike. We have a short break, but we can wrap this up about the Masons after this break. This is Wayne Mattson from Washington, D.C. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming live tonight from Washington. And the toll-free number, if you'd like to call the program, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And we've been talking to Mike from Maryland, and we were getting into talking about Joe Wilson, his outburst. And, Mike, you were talking about Mr. Wilson's involvement with the Masons.
Let me just I'll get off the air quickly, and if you go to rense.com, R-E-N-S-E.com, about the sixth or seventh line, the story is the hand signs of Masonic leaders. It appears that Ron Paul is flashing the Diablo sign at least three or four times on there. It can't be by accident. And Rense's site has been hacked like crazy this past week, as it has been off like 2-3 days in a row. So he must be doing something right. So all I got to say is, you do a great job in the radio show. You do a lot of good covering, you know, exposing the New World Order. We might disagree on some things, and I appreciate you letting a paleo conservative like me rattle on.
Oh, absolutely. And listen, the paleo conservatives, I mean, Pat Buchanan is a paleo conservative, and of course I've written twice for his magazine, The American Conservative. So I think in the past, I think people could disagree but keep it civil, and that's what I'm not, you know, seeing anymore in this town, and certainly not from listening to these radio programs on the AM band. But anyway, thanks for calling, Mike.
Okay, you take care.
Right, and I can understand why your dog's barking, because you said Joe Wilson, I got the dog angry. I can certainly understand that. Anyway, I also I don't want to harp on just Limbaugh. Limbaugh, of course, is the worst of the lot, but he's also the best connected. He's you know, he had a very close relationship with George W. Bush. an extremely close relationship with Dick Cheney. But again, he's not the only one, but all his, the other, many Limbaughs out there try to emulate this character. I want to play this clip. This was a few weeks back, but it's Glenn Beck, and they're talking about this incident at Harvard with Professor Gates and this, a beer summit on the, you know, at the White House. But anyway, let's listen to what Glenn Beck has to say. He's trying to outdo Limbaugh, of course.
This president, I think, has exposed himself as a guy over and over and over again who has a deep-seated hatred for white people or the white culture. I don't know what it is. You can't say he doesn't like white people. David Axelrod's white. Rahm Emanuel's his chief of staff are white. I think 70% of the people that we see every day are white. Robert Gibbs is white. I'm not saying that he doesn't like white people. I'm saying he has a problem. He has a... This guy is, I believe, a racist.
Well, there you have it. I mean, he says, first he says President Obama hates white people. Then he says, I'm not saying he doesn't like white people. Well, I guess if you hate white people, you don't like them. I mean, this guy's a lunatic. Another guy, but look, he's on Fox News. That's Roger Ailes' operation. Roger Ailes used to be the producer for Limbaugh's television program. Short-lived, thank God it was a short-lived TV program, but and nobody, no, you know, they used to bus people in from as far as Ohio. I think they got special deals just to get a packed, a packed studio audience. But it's all the same. These are all the same people involved in these. In this, you know, Karl Rove is a contributor. He never met a racist Republican, especially in the South, that he didn't like. He's backed many of them. He's been out to destroy the Democratic parties of Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina, and other states. That's his ultimate goal. But anyway, that's Glenn Beck, and I've got one in reserve. If we have time, this guy makes me sick, but it's Michael Savage, Michael Wiener Savage, who is from San Francisco, and I'll say no more about that. But anyway, we have Richard calling in from Oklahoma. Richard, are you on the line?
Hey, guy, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I was kind of curious today and went to Baxter's website.
Yes.
And anyway, I worked in a factory for like 4 or 5 years, and they always kept a, you know what an MSDS chart is?
No, I'm not familiar, but why don't you tell us?
It's a material safety data sheet.
Oh, okay, right. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, if you go to Baxter's homepage, you know, Baxter USA, they got
right.
Baxter completes production of first commercial batches of AH1N1 pandemic vaccine. And
right.
You click on that,
right.
And it brings you to what they did. Then you go scroll down to the bottom of the page, or you go to you could get to their MSDS fact sheet for the for all of their products.
Right.
And
okay.
And that product, the CELVAPAN,
right?
The flu vaccine, I guess. That's
okay.
Not in their MSDS sheet.
Hmm.
And it. And I think it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Right. Well. Of course, Baxter is one of the companies that's producing this AH1N1 vaccine, which more and more people in the medical community, the public health community, are saying this is not tested. This is potentially very dangerous. It contains thimerosal, which is half mercury. It contains a substance called squalene, which is very harmful, may have contributed to Gulf War syndrome.
Anyway, Wayne, in the MSDS sheet, that would all be in there.
Right, right. So it sounds like a cover-up.
I don't know about a cover-up, but I do know one thing, that when I worked at a you know, the factory I worked at.
Yeah.
If we didn't have a, I mean, it could be soap.
Right.
I mean, regular a bar of soap. If it wasn't on the MSDS sheet, OSHA got involved.
Right, because if you're transporting that, of course, you have to, I think what you're saying is the reason is you have to know what the contents are, what the material contains in case it was, as you say, hazardous, if there was a spill of some nature.
Somebody got hurt by the product.
Exactly. Well, that's very interesting, and look, we're only weeks away, maybe a week or a week and a half away from when we're going to see this. According to all the experts, this is going to be a repeat of the 1918 virus. It peaked the first week of October. It started to ebb off in November, so we're getting very, very close. And
Wayne, you should go and check into that MSDS sheet.
I will do that. Thanks for the tip, and for all our listeners out there, again, it's the Baxter pharmaceutical website you're talking about, right?
Yeah, Baxter USA, their home website.
Okay, and that's BaxterUSA.com?
I just put in Baxter Pharma, and then you went to Google. And
Well, Google should pick that up, and so everyone should go and see what you're talking about. But thanks for letting us know about that. Just another twist in this whole pandemic story since it first showed up in Mexico in April. But anyway, thanks for calling, Richard. And thank you. And we have Thomas who's waiting patiently on the phone in Georgia. Thomas, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Wayne. It is good to talk to I would call a great patriot like you that you try to get to the facts, process it, and disseminate it to the people that will actually listen and that do care, that are, you know, the remnant left in this country. I appreciate, you know, you being on Alex Jones' show, and, you know, I listen to you as much as I can. I've known about you for probably 5 or 6 years, and I followed you.
Well, thanks.
Writing,
appreciate the kind words.
No problem. I was interested in what your thoughts were about Obama and this missile shield that he is now does not want to be deployed to Poland and to parts of Eastern Europe, and how that, because you're aware of Netanyahu going over to Moscow.
Right. There is a report that he made a secret trip there, right?
Yes, telling Medvedev and Putin whatever. I mean, we can use our educated guess and probably threatening to attack Israel and taking whoever down with them that they have to, if they attack Iran. But what do you think is behind all this? And, you know, what do you think Obama's trying to accomplish by quote-unquote, appeasing the Russians? And
well,
I'd love to hear your opinion.
Yeah, well, let me stay on. I spoke about this on Russia Today, as a matter of fact. And this missile shield was in, remember, this, although Robert Gates approved it, this was in the works under Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld, if you remember, during the Clinton administration, chaired a commission on ballistic missile defense. Rumsfeld wanted to start up Star Wars 2 because, you know, Star Wars 1 was a failure. It didn't work. So here we're going to throw a whole bunch more money at Star Wars 2. So part of that was to put in these bases in Poland, the Czech Republic. I think they even considered the Baltics, but they didn't want to go there because that would have really inflamed the Russians. We said it was against Iranian and North Korean missiles. Now, if you look at a map, you realize that North Korea doesn't have to shoot a missile clear across, Russia, the Eurasian landmass, and then over the Atlantic to get the United States. So that made no sense at all. Iran only has a short range and intermediate range ballistic missiles. It can't even reach where these interceptors were going to be in Poland and Czech Republic. But Russia said it's aimed at us. Richard Perle and those neocons that were in the Pentagon, they're Russia haters. They're documented Russia haters. We still have the Jackson-Vanik provisions in federal law, which ties U.S. trade with Russia to the emigration of Soviet Jews to Israel. Soviet Jews to Israel. There is no more Soviet Union. Why is this still on the books? Because people like Pearl and people like Wolfowitz and people like Douglas Feith are documented Russia haters. And that's why they pushed this defense missile shield. And finally, I think, you know, somebody realized, hey, the Cold War's over. You know, Russia's not the enemy here, and they got rid of it. But remember, they had to placate the Pentagon too by saying, "Oh, well, we're not scrapping it. It's going to be submarine base and mobile land base." But I think that they said nothing's going to happen until 2015. I think it was because Russia agreed to allow the United States to have overflight rights to supply Afghanistan. They wanted something in return, and this is what they got in return.
Okay. Yeah, they write about Russia in the PNAC documents, I believe, didn't they?
Russia, China, it was all in there. They were talking about one superpower dominating every country on the planet, including, of course, every one of the nuclear powers, nuclear weapons powers. So I think this is...
Except we're no longer the superpower.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And one last question. What do you think? They have military advisors, and I guess I would imagine, you know, companies like, well, what's now Z Blackwater and some form of our troops in Pakistan. What do you think the goal is there, other than to get contractors?
Well, that's a good question, and what we're of course seeing now, there's been an incident in Pakistan today where a company, a private security company hired by the U.S. Embassy to protect it, the Pakistani police raided it and seized a bunch of weapons. Now, the U.S. ambassador is saying, oh, well, we had permission of the Prime Minister of Pakistan to ship this stuff in. This is yet another case where the U.S. is building up militarily through these private mercenaries in Pakistan, and I think the ultimate goal, and what I reported last week, was we want to do to Pakistan and Afghanistan what we did to the former nation of Yugoslavia. We want to balkanize it. We want to create new stands, Punjabistan, Baluchistan, Hazaristan, in that region, and of course, by doing that, we'll be able to manipulate these new countries a lot easier.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll finally catch Bin Laden.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Bin Laden's dead, and I think he died. Right after we went into Afghanistan, I think we didn't kill him. I think he died. Everyone tells me he died of kidney failure. He had very bad kidneys, and of course, when you're up in the mountains there, it's hard to get dialysis. So I think he's been dead, but they have to keep the guy alive, because if you read 1984 by George Orwell, you remember Emmanuel Goldstein. He was the enemy, and Big Brother needed Emmanuel Goldstein to rally the sheep against the enemy, and that's exactly what they've done. Orwell didn't write a novel; he wrote a documentary about the future.
Yes, he did. When you said that it's hard to get dialysis in the mountains, it's probably pretty hard to control NORAD a $1 trillion intelligence apparatus here in the country too. From there, one last thing.
Yes,
do you think
go ahead.
The Afghanistan war? Would you say, other than what you just said about the balkanization, the heroin poppies or opium poppies and the oil pipelines do play a part of that, right?
Absolutely. Bumper heroin now is at the opium is at a all-time high levels of production in Afghanistan, and of course the Trans-Afghan pipeline construction is underway to bring the natural gas from the north, from the former Soviet Central Asian stands to the coast of Pakistan. So this is oil, drugs, and geopolitical interests at the very heart of this operation in Afghanistan. And look, I think Obama deserves much criticism for sending additional U.S. troops over there. But anyway, thanks for calling in.
No
thanks
problem.
For calling in, Thomas, from calling in from Georgia. I see we have Sophia calling in from California. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Wayne. Nice to hear from
you. Hi. Good to hear from you again.
Listen, you were talking about Rush Limbaugh and just the whole way they do character assassinations and their racist agenda. Don't you think it's they're actually speaking in coded language? Like
they
for
are.
Example.
Oh, hold on. Sophia, we have a short break, but we'll be back with you right after this short break. This is Wayne Mattson on RBN coming from Washington, D.C.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, and we're coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C., and we have Sophia on the line from California. Are you still with us?
Yes, I am, Wayne.
Yes, and you were
that the coded language, apparently, when Reagan ran for office, he announced he was going to be up for presidential election in the South, in a specific place where everybody knew, which was where a racial unrest took place, and it was
It was Philadelphia, Mississippi, and it was where three civil rights workers were murdered by the Ku Klux Klan.
Exactly, and so when Coltergeister, Ann Coulter, speaks up so wickedly about threateningly about the Supreme Court justices, and in fact. Sandra Day O'Connor complained about it when she was in South Africa. I remember she had a speech, but she and Ginsburg complained about it too, you know. But it's a way of inciting unrest to the lowest common denominator. It's not anything. It's like the 14 tenets of fascism by Lawrence Britt, racism, you know, sexism.
Right.
The belligerent nationalism and, you know, and it's a code word for actually, it's inciting unrest in the most negative way,
Yes, and have you picked up on Limbaugh's device that he uses to send his coded language? For those who may not be all that swift, and I would say that's most of his listening audience, but when he was referring to Obama's numbers on the healthcare proposal, he kept referring to them as Obama's figures, as in figures, but with a slant to it. I don't think it takes, but when he does it, he does this thing with this paper. He makes a sound with the paper, and then he pounds the desk. That's the message, and you know that's his subliminal way of saying, look, I've just said something here. I've sent you a code. Pick up on it, and I don't think that's what that's not what the public airwaves should be used for. Look, he is a showman. We haven't seen a guy like that since P.T. Barnum. But you know, P.T. Barnum made money because there were a lot of suckers out there that he took to the cleaners, and Limbaugh's no different. But Limbaugh also he's not syndicated on 600 stations without somebody feeding him all these techniques, and we, you know, psychological warfare operations. There's a lot of expertise in that area.
You know, you're talking what I hear. I don't listen to the radio, and I don't watch TV, so I have to admit that. But I really, the Rush Limbaugh I've heard mostly like what you just played. That's about all I've heard. I really have kept my ears shut, but. There's a man named Dr. George Lakoff who was the linguistics chair at Berkeley, and he talked about framing back about 5 years ago. And he says that the Republican right, well, I know it's Hegelian dialectic name game, but nevertheless, the right wing is very good at manipulating words, and they spend huge amounts of money in their think tanks, and they talk about. They tried to figure the worst way to frame abortion. And that's where they got that partial birth.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the death tax, the inheritance tax became the death tax. And anyway, but thanks for calling in, Sophia, from California. And that'll do it for this week. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report. We will be back with you this time next week.